from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, same to you.
The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, good morning, all. How are you? It's the last day of April. Go figure. 30 days have September, April, June. Yeah, that's tomorrow's May 1st. Well, that'll be fun to flip over the calendar. That'll be something to do. A friend of mine the other day asked me, Patrick, well, what do you do after your show? Your show's only 2 or 3 hours. What do you do? And without thinking, I just said, well, I just do stuff, and then I do more stuff, and then I do some more stuff, and then when I get tired of doing all this stuff, I go to sleep. I think that's pretty much what we all do, huh? We just do stuff, and it's fun doing stuff. Kind of figured out the more stuff you do, the more stuff you do. Like you want to get something done, ask a busy man. Have you ever heard that one? That's a good one. Well, we have lots to talk about this morning. You'll meet David Essel here in a moment. David's in Florida, not playing golf today, and we're going to talk about a lot of fun things of the power of positive thinking, not the law of attraction, setting your goals, really good things to help us all navigate planet Earth a little more gracefully and productively and easily and successfully. Dave's a neat guy. He's been around a long time, and he'll be here in a second. Dr. Ben Lynch, next hour. He has a book called Dirty Genes, Programmed to Treat the Root Cause of Illness and Optimize Your Health. We're going to clean up our genes. Tomorrow, very fascinating lady up in somewhere... Colorado, Wyoming, one of those places. She has a new book out, and she's been doing a lot of work with glyphosates, gene disruption with her animals that she takes care of. She's out there in kind of animal sanctuary thing, and wow, some of the things that she's discovered with glyphosates that's kind of wafting over the mountain there where she is, and really, really crazy. Andrew Goss on Wednesday. Dr. Judy Getza, she's a chiropractor, on Thursday, and we have somebody else due on Thursday, and I think somebody else tomorrow, too. So, we got a good week for you. If you'd like to join the show, 888-663-6386, email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com, Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. David Essel's been here a couple of years ago. Heard David years ago. He had a great syndicated radio talk show, and he's written about 10 books or so, and he's a life coach. He speaks around the world, and so he's affected millions of people over the years with just his a great message of helping people self-actualization, have a better life, being happier, and all of that. Dr. Wayne Dyer was a big fan of David, and also the chicken soup people were too. And David is here this morning. We're going to catch up with him and see what he's up to, see if he's a happy boy. And are you a happy boy in Florida, David?
Patrick, I love it. Happier than I could imagine. Yes, we're loving life here in the sunny state.
Well, how can you not? You have golf courses. You know, what can you say? I mean, do you play golf?
No, I play tennis. You no play, golf. So there's tennis. Plenty of tennis courts as well, Patrick.
How long have you been down in Florida?
40 years now.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and travel a lot these days, talking about your work and helping.
Yes, we have our, as you mentioned, 10 books now. 3 of them went number one bestseller. Our last book, Focus, our most current one, Focus, Slay Your Goals, it went number one bestseller in about 4 months, which was unheard of for us. You know, so so we've been on the road traveling, doing a great promotional tour, and now I'm back home for a little bit, which I love as well.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously, there's lots of souls out there that are thinking about, you know, who they are, where they're going, how they can have a happier life, better relationships, and so you put out these kind of books, and other people do, and people like them. I mean, they're very popular.
You know, we're all, I shouldn't say all, but most of us are searching for something that we don't have, Patrick. You know, whether it's a better body, freedom from an addiction, financial freedom, you know, a great relationship, a different career. I mean, we're searchers by nature, which I think is really, really healthy. So what we do with our books is we give, you know, all of our books, the most recent one, Focus, I think we have about 75 stories of people that have overcome great challenges so that we can use them as role models and say, okay, wait a minute. If this guy, as a matter of fact, Tom, in our book, if he overcame a 30-year addiction to opiates and alcohol, maybe I can. Or, you know, one of my favorite stories in the book, Focus, Patrick, is Evelyn Keeling, a friend of mine who lost 240 pounds in her 40s and in her 50s became a bodybuilder.
Really?
And when you think about, if, you know, you and your listeners right now, if you could imagine yourself with 240 pounds extra on your current body, above and beyond what you're currently weighing, it's like trying to get off two people. And so in the book, we say, if you want to be successful in life, if you want to go to the next level in any of the topics that we're going to talk about today, you've got to get highly focused. And we have a 90-day program we teach in the book. If you commit 90 days, 6 days a week, doing what we ask you to do, not only will you start to create that awesome momentum that's needed to lose the weight, get sober, make the money, but at the end of 90 days, you're going to feel better about yourself because you've created a persistent daily action plan, Patrick. And, you know, as you well know, I don't believe positive thinking is the answer, but you can create an ongoing positive attitude when you do things for 90 straight days that you haven't done. Like, you start to feel better about yourself. Your self-esteem improves. And so the book is really about sharing inspirational stories, but then also we challenge traditional thought processes in the world of personal growth that we are now celebrating 38 years. In the world of personal growth. So we share those exciting stories as well as steps on how to get from where you are to where you'd like to be.
Oh, cool. David Essel's with us. If you'd like to join the show, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So what kind of things did you figure out and share with people in the book Focus that on traditional goal setting, the way people do it now and over all these years, come up with, a better way or a more productive way?
Well, when people read the book, Patrick, they're going to see right in the beginning that I apologize in writing.
Really? What'd you do? Okay, what'd you do? What'd you do?
Well, it's very rare for an author to come out and say, what I taught for 16 years from 1980 to 1996 was wrong.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. What were you teaching those 16 years that were wrong?
I was teaching all the things that people still love today, and they're filled with nonsense, Patrick. I was teaching the law of attraction before we knew what the law of attraction was. I was traveling the world. Now, you know, over those 16 years, I was traveling 40 weeks a year as a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
And I would stand in front of audiences, and I would say, whatever you believe you can achieve, and when you have the right attitude, that energy goes out into the universe and brings back to you the goal that you want. I was teaching all of that stuff that people still love to teach today. You know, books like The Secret and The Law of Attraction. But in 1996, in a one-hour interview, Patrick, with one of the most, I'd say, incredible teachers that I've ever run into in my life, he's no longer here. He was the founder of Transcendental Meditation.
Oh,
his name is a long one.
The Maharishi?
Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I had an hour interview with him. And during that interview, he blew my mind and absolutely blew out of the water this whole stuff about the power of thought. Now, what's interesting, Patrick, about that interview is that this is a guy that helped millions of people to become calmer through meditation, to learn how to allow thoughts to be without trying to kick out the bad ones and only bring in new ones.
Right.
you know, he taught us that your thoughts are not enemies, but if you try to ignore negative thoughts, they're going to get bigger. So here we are, you know, on the air, we go to a break, and he says to me, I was asking him all these questions about, you know, success and inner peace and contentment. And he said, hey, you mentioned the word, or you mentioned how much you love affirmations. And I said, oh my gosh, Maharishi, you know, I wake up every day and I've got these incredible affirmations. And he said, what's your favorite one? I said, oh, I'll tell you right now. Here it is. I've been saying it for 16 years, Maharishi. I have mastered this and I love it. And here's the affirmation. I am David Essel, a child of God, happy, healthy, and sober today. And I've been saying that morning, noon, and night. And he looked at me, and this is off air, and he said, is that your reality? And it's an interesting question, Patrick. So as your listeners are sitting back listening to me, if they are having affirmations like, I earn $1 million a year, I am a size 6 when they're a size 18, I am with the love of my life when they're single. If they're using those affirmations that we've been taught are powerful enough to bring whatever we want into our lives, if you're stating things that aren't true, you're lying to yourself. And Maharishi, when he asked me that question, is that your reality in the physical world, these affirmations that you're using? I lied to him off air and said, absolutely, when I was a raging alcoholic.
Oh, at the time you were?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. You were going through this whole thing for 16 years and you were an alcoholic?
Absolutely. Wow. And a binge cocaine addict.
Wow. No, really? And, wow.
Yeah. And so,
so you were just in this, you were just in this double divided mind illusion that you, wow, you were really into this positive thinking, like an almost to a cultish thing.
It is cultish. Oh my God. If you talk to the people, and when people, the Law of Attraction, read my book, at first they get really ticked off at me, Patrick, because they've been taught by the teachers that taught me that whatever you believe you can achieve and your thoughts must come back in kind, whatever you put out in the universe must return in kind. You know, like, that's not true.
Well, it's kind that of is true. I mean, it's kind of true. Let's be real. Yeah, let's pick that apart a minute. So
sure.
So if I really believe that I can, I don't know, I love golf, can be a professional golfer, whether or not that's going to come true would be up to if I'm really good enough and if I can really practice every day for 30 years, and maybe I could. But you certainly wouldn't want to think, well, I could never be a professional golfer. That's not going to get you there either.
Okay, you said something that people miss. If you read the Law of Attraction books and The Secret, they don't talk about what you just said, Patrick.
Oh, they don't.
They don't say, if you practice daily for 30 years.
Oh, okay. I see.
Okay. What they say is, put your thoughts out there and it must. And that's why I finally got so fed up with all this stuff and said, wait a minute. Listen, for 16 years, longer than 16 years, I would wake up every day saying I'm sober. It put the illusion in my brain that I was sober.
Oh, you were saying this while you were drinking.
Yes, every morning.
You were just kind of becoming an everyday robot.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And it wasn't true.
That's amazing.
And in our book, Focus, we say, listen, let's get real here. Hmm. You know, like, wow. I was lying to myself, Patrick. But
you think?
Now listen, this is the power of affirmation.
God love you. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. In the lie, there's a release of chemicals in the brain, serotonin, dopamine, GABA, uh-huh, that make us feel great, invincible in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Of course. But those thoughts, unless it's a miracle, and we say this in the book, unless it's a miracle, those thoughts are not going to become sobriety, golf pro, $1 million a year. Like,
of
the
course
people,
not. Of course. Not. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you read these books, they say that's all you need to do.
Really?
Now, there's a famous Law of Attraction teacher that came out with a new book last year that said, you know what? There's a missing ingredient, because millions of people are saying all of these affirmations and their life isn't changing. And he came out last year and said, we just found the missing ingredient. For all you millions of people that this isn't working for.
Yeah. Well, that's a new one. We got a new best thing, right?
Yeah. And they said, now you have to put incredible emotion behind your affirmation. And then they become true.
Ah.
So okay. It's just like, no, listen, 28 years as a radio talk show host, Patrick, in all those years, you know, the Deepaks and the Wayne Dyers, the Susie Ormans, the sure. Kenny Loggins, Meatloaf, I could go on and on, Don Miguel Ruiz, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, not one of them in 28 years on the air ever said to me, Patrick, that they hung out, did their affirmations, created a vision board, and sold a million books. You know, as a matter of fact, there's a great Wayne Dyer and I got along so great.
Wasn't he just a terrific guy, man?
Oh, yeah. And he was so much fun, and he believed in me. In 1990, the first time I interviewed him, at the end of the show, and this just tells you how classy he is, he says, you know what, David, I know this is your first year on national radio. This was so much fun. I have one question for you. What can I do to help you further your career? Now, even in 1990, Wayne was huge.
Yeah, I remember. He was big time, right?
Big time. Yeah. And here he is asking me how, you know, he can help me. It was one of the most beautiful conversations I ever had with him. But here's a funny story about Wayne. When I said to him, how did your first book explode? And on the air, he says, well, I'm going to tell you something, that it's a lot more than just writing a good book and believing it's going to be a number one bestseller, David. He goes, this is what I did. And I laugh every time I tell the story. He said, we released my first book, and after about 30 days, my publisher called and said, you know, the book sales aren't where we hoped they would be, Wayne. And, you know, anything that you could do that we're not doing, do it, because we've got to get these book sales up to help continue to support you. Wayne got in his car and he went to every bookstore within driving distance and bought all of his books off the shelf. 30 days later, he gets a call from his publisher.
Wow, we're doing good, man. Yeah.
You're not going to believe this.
That's hilarious.
All these stores are reordering even more copies of your book. And, you know, so when we look at, was Wayne Dyer a positive thinker? Well, of course.
Of course he was, yeah.
But he did what so many of us don't want to do. He invested time, effort, and money to support his own success. And that's the whole story of our new book, Focus, Slay Your Goals.
Yeah.
You know, we love positive thinking, Patrick. Oh, I'm still a huge positive thinker. But we know that all these people created huge success by doing what the rest of us will not do.
Oh, yeah. It's a great story. I can remember in the late 70s, I was working for a radio station in New Orleans. Somebody had given me Your Erroneous Zones by Dr. Dyer. It was on my shelf for like 2 years. And I picked it up one day and opened it up. And I'll always remember this little thing he put there, David, was something to the effect, I'm going to paraphrase, your thoughts control the way you feel. You can control your thoughts. Thus, you can control the way you feel. And I sat down and I go, oh, man, really? That's the first time I really thought about this kind of stuff in 1978. And just reading that one line from Dr. Dyer, like, oh, I could really control the way I feel? What a concept. I'd gone 30 years of my life, and I was just bumping into walls, right? Just thinking that I never even thought about it. So I can't imagine, I just can't get over this cocaine thing and alcohol thing for 16 years. I mean, so looking in the mirror, shaving, you never really confronted the fact that you were just lying to yourself? I mean, you never really had that conversation like, David, you know, you're still drinking and you're, you know, you never had that conversation in 16 years?
No, Patrick. Wow. And I struggled for 25 years.
My
and it was the
goodness.
The last 16. But let me tell you why.
Yeah.
The reason why it never dawned on me was because all of my gurus and teachers from 1980 to 1996, and I became a parrot. They had convinced me that your thoughts become things, and all you have to do is think positively and your world will change.
Yeah.
And they said it so literally, just like it's being promoted today, unfortunately.
Is it still? I mean, is it really? Because I don't read these books. Is it still, it's still the big deal?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Now, let me tell you a great story about Jenny McCarthy.
Okay.
The celebrity radio host. So I've been on Jenny's show probably 5 times in the last year, 6 times. And the very first time I was on, her producer called me the day before I'm going to be on her show and said, hey, David, Jenny is really excited to have you on, but she's excited because she doesn't understand where you're coming from with your book, Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, But This Book Will, because she's intrigued by it, but she doesn't quite understand it coming from a motivational speaker that would write a book. So she said, just to let you know, she loves The Secret. She loves the Law of Attraction. She loves positive thinking. So I just want to give you a heads up. I said, great.
Okay.
Get on the show. Jenny introduces me and she goes, you know, coming up next, this is so perplexing. You know, here's a motivational speaker and a counselor for 28 years and a life coach for 28 years and all these things. And he's got a book, Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, But This Book Will. Welcome, David Essel. I said, oh my God, Jenny, I'm so excited. And we talked for a few minutes. She goes, okay, listen, you know, I love positive thinking. I love the Law of Attraction. I love The Secret. I'm going to give you 4 minutes to go ahead and convince me that I'm wrong. And I said, awesome, Jenny. She gave me the floor, Patrick, for 4 minutes. She did not interrupt me. She didn't ask a question. She just let me rock it. And this is what happened. At the end of 4 minutes, she says, oh my Lord. And she turns to her audience and she says, hey, I have to tell you I was wrong. David Essel, he's the real deal. He's the new leader of the positive thinking movement. And in that 4 minutes, Patrick, similar to how you and I are talking, I went through the illusions that we've all bought into. And, you know, and I even explained why. Excuse me. I even explained why, Patrick, the Law of Attraction and The Secret and all this fantastical illusional thinking is popular. In 1996, when I had this huge transformation and got done with the interview with Maharishi, 3 weeks later, I wake up and realize I've been lying to myself. I have been using affirmations and my life has never changed. I said, you know what I have to do now? This is going to sound logical, but remember, we're dealing with in a logical world that's telling us that you can attract checks in the mail, for God's sake, by thinking they're coming. Ridiculous stuff. And I have a story about that as well. So, you know, I'm teaching all this stuff and I'm telling Jenny, well, in 1996, after Maharishi, we came up with the definition of what human nature is. And the definition of human nature is our desire to get the most out of life with minimal effort. That's what drives lottery sales. That's what drives home shopping network sales with exercise equipment to look like these incredible models with 6 minutes a day of exercise. You know, like what we're doing here is the marketers, including the marketers of The Secret and the Law of Attraction, they're going after human nature.
Sure.
It's too good to be true. They're presenting it in such a seductive way that we buy into it.
Well, that's their job, right?
Well, yeah, it's their job. But you know what, in all honesty,
that's their job.
I mean, I am making amends right now by saying it was my job from 1980 to 1996 to inspire the world.
Yeah, of course.
And I did it wrong.
Well, but you did help a lot of people along the way.
Oh, that's not a question. Of course I did.
Of course. But you were just dazed and confused, so you can go easy. You can go easy on yourself, you know.
You know what, Patrick? More than dazed and confused, I was so enamored with the gurus. I mean, if you're selling 10 million books, you must be right. And I bought into it. And now I'm coming out and saying, oh my Lord, come on. You know, like our parents would tell us growing up, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. Well, listen, Dr. Joe Vitale, he is an amazing individual. He's written so many books. He's a multi-trillionaire. And I tell his story, the interview I had with him in my book, Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life. Joe was a star of The Secret. And on The Secret, it said he went from homeless to millionaire. And his main vehicle that he went from homeless to millionaire with, Patrick, was imagining checks coming in the mail.
Really?
Yeah.
By the way.
So I get him on the show and I said, hey, Joe, that story is so amazing. I want you to tell us all of the visualization techniques and all of the affirmations you use to go from homeless to millionaire. Because according to The Secret, that's all you did. You know, you just woke up one day and started thinking certain things. All of a sudden, checks start coming in the mail, and he started laughing. He said, well, David, they left out a key piece of the puzzle. I said, no kidding, Joe. You know, And what was the key piece of the puzzle? For years, he worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Mm-hmm. He became a millionaire before The Secret found him. He has a great story. He was homeless. He became a millionaire. But Patrick, he did it by working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And all they showed was his mental technique of believing he was going to do it.
Yeah, good marketers.
They didn't talk about the key ingredient, you know? Yeah. And that's why I'm writing the books I'm writing. And, you know, the stories that we share are people that actually believed that they could do it at some level. But you know what, Patrick? You don't even have to believe you can get sober, lose weight, make more money. You don't have to believe you can. All you have to do is to create a plan and follow it 6 days a week. And when your physical world starts to change and you start to see the weight come off, the money come in, a love relationship improve, your attitude will follow.
And it also helps that you just stop drinking too.
Mm. Well, you know what? I got to tell you something.
Okay, let me do a quick little break here, and then we'll pick up there. I also want to know what the secret is, because I've never read the book, and I want you to, I'll give you 60 seconds to tell me what the secret is, okay?
Previously with Dr. Ross Stewart, who just kind of came up with this, telling about how he works with people and their neurotransmitters.
How do we produce sufficient amounts of glutathione in the liver, which, of course, is a big filter for all the blood, pulling half-spent hormones, waste, dead cells, and other toxins out of the blood. The higher the level of glutathione, the longer a person is going to live and the better their blood is. And I'm glad you're doing a sulfur product. Once you start getting any of these kinds of symptoms, all the way from autism, all the way through Parkinson's, you can't get enough sulfur from eating broccoli and kale and cauliflower and garlic and onions. You can't get enough. You need to supplement it.
Well, the information just keeps on coming with sulfur. The sulfur that we promote is 99.97% pure, no additives, no excipients. Just click an order on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
Yes, I know it's more expensive than most of them, and it's just the way it is. Nobody's making $1 billion here. Patrick McGee and Cindy, or Patrick. It just costs more to get the pure stuff. I guess it's that way in everything. The pure stuff. You know, most of it out there, I would say 95% of the MSMs or sulfur have silicon dioxide, some other things. And I don't know how they're made, but ours is made in a way where it's still living. And it's living. It doesn't have babies, but it's kind of still living. So you mix it with water, and you can drink up and leave some of it in the bottom of the glass. And then you'll see in a day or so, you'll see these crystals growing. So it's still alive. And most of the sulfurs will not do that. So it's only costs a little more to go first class. It's $80 for 2 pounds delivered, contiguous United States. Canada, I think it's $95, 2 pounds delivered. And we ship all over the world as well, and it's about $100. But 2 teaspoons a day, morning and night, it's about a 3-month supply. It's the real deal. So many benefits from taking sulfur. Massive amounts of detoxification goes on. It's one of the whole God thing to detoxify the body, that the GMOs, the glyphosates, rather not the GMOs, but the glyphosates displace in the body. Part of many conversations with Dr. Seneff of MIT. It messes up the sulfur pathway. And that is not happy, because the body cannot detoxify. So these glyphosates are very dangerous. And the sulfur is just one key. I'm not saying take sulfur and go out and eat glyphosates. But it certainly helps if you're getting some GMOs in there. And even if not, to help open up these pathways and to keep these things moving and leave the building with Elvis. Click an order. Pure Sulfur on OneRadioNetwork.com. Last day of our colostrum sale today.
Here's a little primer on colostrum.
Colostrum is this amazing food, and of course we have it in a powdered form, so it comes kind of like a dried milk, although technically colostrum is not really a dairy product. It is the sort of first food for mammals. It's made where dairy products are made in the body, or it comes from that same place, but it's not really a milk, even though it comes from udders. And of course all mammals produce colostrum, and they produce that colostrum to feed their young mammals. really love the idea that if we're going to have cows and we're going to milk them, that that colostrum becomes the most medicinal part of that whole system. So colostrum in human bodies does a lot of different things, but its primary stuff is it keeps the immune system in shape. So when we're using colostrum, it keeps our immune system kind of like going to the gym almost, like keeps it fit so that we can fight off infection. It's one of the things it does really helps us do really well. That's a natural, normal thing for us, but we're living in a world that really breaks our immune system down, so we need immuno allies. Probably nothing in the world supports our ability to stay antiviral the way colostrum does.
That's a lovely product. We've been taking it for years. Not that that means anything to you, but we have and love it. You can click and order colostrum, and you can order the 1 or 2 kilo containers. Get on the auto ship for the best price. Any Survival Link right here, OneRadioNetwork.com. As mentioned, the biggest colostrum sale of the year, last day today, midnight. It is over, and check out the prices. 1 and 2 kilo colostrums, big, big sale going on. Previously with Dr. Charles... I don't want to do that. Well, it's the last day of April 2018, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
You must remember this.
Oh, Jimmy.
A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
We're talking with David Essel. Nice man. He's in Florida this morning. International speaker, 10 books, his latest is Focus, and he had a whole reboot of drinking and drugs and after talking to Maharishi. When was the Maharishi experience? What year was that, David?
Patrick, 1996.
96, okay. So, quickly, I can remember in 76, I was wanted to quit smoking. I got hypnotized. I got some staples put in my ear. I don't know. I did all kinds of stuff. And I didn't do anything. I just said, I'm going to quit. And one day I was on the radio and I said, well, if I just do this live, then, you know, I'll be a silly guy if I don't quit. And I said, I'm going to quit. And that was it. I just, boom, I didn't smoke again. So and we were talking about that with drinking. At some point, you just had to decide you, who David Essel really is, not the mind, right, or the emotions, you. And we can talk about what that might be. I think it's soul, that we're soul. You decided you weren't going to drink or smoke or take drugs. Somehow you had to decide, right? Otherwise you would be doing it today.
Absolutely. And Patrick, one of the things that you did that we talk about in our book Focus that's so crucial to goal achievement is that you held yourself accountable in front of a massive radio audience.
Oh, see, okay. Yeah, that's what I did. I thought, well, I'm going to be a goofy if I just keep smoking, right?
Exactly. And that's one of the keys. Oh. You know, yeah, yes. I mean, and like I said, let me make this really clear. When I went to get clean and sober, I did not want to. I didn't wake up with this belief system. This is so exciting. I'm going to go to a 30-day treatment center. I'm going to commit 365 days in a row with a counselor. I'm going to invest all this money in me. I can't wait to get started.
Of course not. Yeah. Of course not.
You know? Yeah. And I'm living proof that you don't have to want to change to change.
Right.
And
good.
I tell people.
That's key, isn't it?
It is key because, see, this is where we've been misled. You know, we've been misled into thinking that, you know, well, when you're ready, let's start. No one's freaking ready.
You know? That's right. Like, when you wait till you're ready, you're going to be 90, right? Well, I think I'm going to do that.
or your next life, maybe you'll wake up and say you're going to be ready.
Right.
You know, but so you don't have to be ready. And I tell people in my lectures all the time, the scariest days of my life so far that I can recall, Patrick, were the first 3 days in a treatment center and the first 3 days at home alone.
Just being without the drugs or the alcohol.
Yeah.
And what you might do and all that stuff. Those thoughts must have been streaming through like crazy. What did you do with those thoughts that were coming through and those feelings? I mean, how did you deal with that?
Well, this is where, you know, in order to get past it, I believe that you have to have assistance. You know, like you had assistance by holding yourself accountable in front of your radio audience. Mm-hmm. I had assistance by going and working with professionals. And so when I would argue that, you know, I think when I leave here, I can drink moderately now because I haven't had a drink in 30 days or whatever other nonsense comes up in the brain, I was surrounded by people that say, hey, come here, let's talk about this. You know, for 25 years, you were a raging addict and alcoholic. 30 days doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't mean in the scope of life. Is it a good start? Sure.
Yeah.
But what really is going to count is when you leave the cocoon of this recovery center, what's the plan? And that's where I woke up and said, you know, how I got in here was, and how I got successful for 30 days was because I had people all around me that were helping me. If I go home and try to do this on my own, I'm screwed. Hmm. So I went home. I, you know, for the first 130 days, I went to a 12-step meeting. And then after that, I really believe that 12-step was a great start for me. But for me personally, it was not enough. And plus, my greatest concern, and I still encourage my addicts to and alcoholics to go to 12-step. Mm-hmm. But my greatest concern with this 12-step program is that they're working on principles that are over 80 years old that have never been updated. And so their success rate is 10%. A 12-step program success rate is 10%. Passages in Malibu, which is $100,000 a month to go there, has about a 10 to 12% success rate.
$100,000 a month.
A month. So we know.
You better be a rich drinker, dude.
Absolutely. You know, we know that it takes more with those kind of success rates. It takes more. So when I got done with my 130 days of going to meetings, uh-huh. I worked with a counselor 7 days a week for almost a year in order to get. Now, I will tell you this. And in our books, we say this. If you have a massive goal, like you need to lose 100 pounds, you need to get sober, you've been struggling financially for 10, 15, 20 years, it's going to take, Patrick, and your listeners, this is just reality. It's going to take 365 days in a row of you doing the work that right now maybe you'd rather not do in order to change the two minds in the body, the conscious and subconscious mind, and to get them into alignment. And can I explain what that means?
Oh, so you're going to give us your idea what that means? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So the conscious mind is listening to the show and they're going, hopefully, they're going, you know, I'm listening to David. And he's talking about all these people, not only his success, but Evelyn that lost 245 pounds and Tom that got clean of 30 years of addiction. And, you know, we've got this guy, John, that totally turned his finances around. Angela doubled her income in 90 days. There's so many cool stories in the book. And let's say that you've got listeners right now that are saying, you know what? This is what I needed. I needed to hear this. I'm going to change. Okay, that's your conscious mind. That's the mind of intent. That's the mind that's waking up with us today and saying, enough already. I got to quit being lazy. I have to, you know, utilize my God-given talents and blah, blah, blah. That's great, but it's not enough. Because what's running the show in all of our good habits and bad habits is the subconscious mind. And I'm going to give two different examples. When the subconscious mind has been trained correctly, like with brushing our teeth, most people would not get up and leave the house or go to bed without brushing their teeth. That's because at some point, usually between the ages of 3 and 7, we are taught that it's a no-go to go to bed without brushing your teeth, and it's a no-go to go to school without brushing our teeth. And it becomes a habit because in many times we're forced to. We're forced to repetitively do it. And whatever we do repetitively, whether it's good or bad, the subconscious mind can't differentiate if the habit is good or bad. But whatever we do over and over and over again is accepted by the subconscious mind as normal. So the good example would be someone that brushes their teeth twice a day. They don't put a note on their car windshield that says, go back and brush your teeth. Because it's already been accepted as this is just what we do. Now, that power of the subconscious mind to go on automatic and just brush your teeth every day before you leave for work, that same thing can be an absolute saboteur when the habit is to watch 3 hours of TV every night, to overeat in the evening, to drink more than you should, to spend money you don't have, blah, blah, blah. Whatever the habit is, to argue with your partner, to never let your partner be right. You know, like those habits become ingrained in the subconscious mind, and that's running the show. So you can listen to me all you want. You can read my book, read anyone's book you want. And when you get excited, that's the conscious mind. But if you're not willing to get uncomfortable and invest time, money, and effort into your major life changes, Patrick, the subconscious mind will rule you for the rest of your life in a negative perspective.
And what do you believe, or what's your experience of what the you is that makes that decision?
Well, it's interesting. Most of us do not change until the pain gets great enough that we're almost forced to.
Of course, that's just human nature.
It's like, so we're trying to escape change with our definition of human nature that, we want the most out of life with minimal effort. So we're trying to find shortcuts constantly. At some point, most of us, when Evelyn lost 245 pounds, when I got sober, when Angela doubled her income, Angela, as a matter of fact, I'll tell this story from the book Focus, Slay Your Goals. She came to me, she had a high school education. She was working in a bank making minimum wage. This is 17 years ago or so. Her life was totally stressed to the max. And she contacted me after hearing me on a radio show to work with me one-on-one from Seattle because her life was absolutely a mess. So we did a couple sessions together. Her money was really tight. And then she said to me after just a few sessions, she said, I need to borrow money and I need to work with you for 90 straight days. And I said, and this is what I said to her, Patrick, if you do what I say, now it's going to take you, Angela, 2 hours a day. You go to work early in the morning, you come home late at night. You have to commit 2 hours every evening, 5 days a week for 90 days, and your life will radically change. Now, when you hear that and someone's in pain, more often than not, Patrick, they're going to get all excited. But after 4 or 5 days of coming home from work tired and having to do 2 hours of networking at night, 2 hours of resume redoing, people have a tendency to back off. I talked to her. Now, listen to this. Part of our deal was this. I would work with her for 30 minutes every morning at 4 a.m. her time. Mm-hmm. So she got up at 3:45 in the morning, called me in Florida at 4 a.m. her time, which was 7 mine, 5 days a week. We went over what happened the night before, what tasks she did, what tasks she didn't do, what she was going to do that night. 90 days later, I'm in New York City speaking at this huge event. I get off the stage and I see all of these text messages coming in from Angela. And so I called her right up and I said, hey, I haven't read a thing. What's going on? And she said, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it. I just got a job offer at double my income. I said, Angela, this is the benefit of your work. Now, she did not enjoy, Patrick, coming home from work exhausted and putting 2 hours in every night. 3 days later, I'm still in New York speaking. I get a frantic call from her saying, I don't know what to do. I just got another job offer at even more than double my income. Now, when you look at that, we say to people, if you're willing to get that uncomfortable and to do what you'd rather not for 90 days, this is the whole premise of our book, Focus, you will be radically changed in 90 days. Now, if you have 240 pounds to lose, like Evelyn did, it's going to take more than 90 days. But the 90-day focus, Patrick, is what starts to turn that subconscious mind into an ally.
Yeah, but I don't understand how concerning about what the subconscious mind. My experience is subconscious mind, I don't really care what it says because I'm not the subconscious mind. I am going to do what I'm going to do.
Well, that's a nice thought.
No, that's the way I live.
Well, you may live that way, Patrick, but that doesn't work for 90% of the
people. I understand. No, I understand that. But then aren't you still maybe, but you're looking upon this, David, as a nice transition or to that level.
Well, when you get the subconscious mind and the conscious mind aligned, it is effortless to not drink for me.
Subconscious, but still for you, but you are separate from those two things. So you still make the decision not to drink.
No, that's incorrect.
No, it's not.
The subconscious mind, Patrick, the subconscious mind is in control. And let me give you, I can give you a million examples.
I just don't think that's right. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. You don't have to agree.
Okay.
I could be right, and some people don't agree, Patrick. That's okay.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, though. It's your time. It's not about me. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay.
In our book, when you read it, if you read it and you look at the facts, not your prior belief systems, you will see what we're saying is absolutely the truth. When I look at my mentor, Joe Cerulli, who was also homeless and became a multimillionaire, there were periods in his life where he didn't know if he could make it. That's just doubt. That's just normal. As he continued to do every day what he would rather not have done, those thoughts and beliefs about can I make it, which are all based in the subconscious mind, dissipate. If someone was used to using sugar every night for 30 years, their subconscious mind is not going to give up. It's going to use justification, rationalization, and denial of why they deserve, need, and want that sugar. If it wasn't the subconscious mind that was holding us back, Patrick, all you had to do was wake up today and make a conscious decision to quit drinking, quit spending money you don't have, and everyone would be in a better place.
Well, yeah, people could do that if they were at that level.
Yeah, but how do you get to that level?
Well, it's doing the work like you're talking about. You're on the right track. You're helping people get to that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason that we don't make the logical decision of quitting drinking or quitting smoking or quitting eating sugar is because that pattern has been set in the subconscious mind. And remember, this is crucial for your listeners. The subconscious cannot differentiate between good or bad. All it knows is the pattern we've fed it.
Yeah, it's just data, right?
It's absolutely data. When I work with relationships, and we have someone that comes in, and a woman who will come in, and she will be in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 emotionally or physically abusive relationships in the world, 99.9% of the time, we will trace it right back to mom and or dad. It was a belief that she saw from 0 to 18, and we explain all this in the book. The pattern she saw from 0 to 18, now remember, the subconscious doesn't believe in logic. All it believes is a pattern. So from 0 to 18, she saw a pattern of dad being abusive or mom being abusive, and the subconscious mind takes that is love, that is marriage.
Right.
So she'll go out and repeat that, not consciously, Patrick. She'll leave at 18 and go, I'm never going to be like mom and dad. And then she will repeat it. Why? Because the pattern has been set and the subconscious is a knee-jerk reaction, and all it wants to do is protect the pattern.
So who is the entity that picks up the drink when the subconscious mind says, I want some? The subconscious mind doesn't pick up the drink.
The subconscious mind, the energy from the subconscious, goes into consciousness as justification, rationalization, and denial.
Right.
And the conscious mind picks it up and says, yeah, you know what?
No, wait. The mind picks it up?
Oh, absolutely.
The mind literally picks up the drink.
Remember, there's...
You
didn't hear what I said.
Yeah, I did. You said that the mind picks up the drink.
Patrick, you didn't let me finish it.
Okay.
If I may?
Sure.
The conscious mind picks up that thought of justification,
right,
rationalization, or denial.
Right.
And then the body acts on the thought.
Oh, so you're saying the conscious mind controls the body.
It absolutely gives the message that this is okay to drink. We're not going to drink anymore. But you know what? It's Friday. I've had a long work week. The pattern that's been set for 6 months or 50 years is that after a long work week, we drink.
So you're saying, let me see if I understand, your experience is that the subconscious mind says it's Friday, let's do this drink thing, and it controls the body, and that's the drinking mechanism from hand to mouth and to stomach.
No. The subconscious mind has a pattern, and we're just going to talk about unhealthy patterns.
Mm-hmm.
The subconscious mind has a pattern that every Friday night we overdrink.
Right.
Okay, so that's what it will protect, it will fight, it doesn't deal with logic. It just deals with patterns.
To the end of days, it'll fight that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And at 8 o'clock at night on Friday, when we've said at 8 a.m. to our wife or our husband, you know what? I'm on a new program. I'm not going to drink anymore. And at 8 o'clock at night, the cravings come. And then here comes justification, rationalization, and denial.
Mm-hmm.
the thoughts in the subconscious are so freaking powerful that they will then be transferred to the conscious mind. The conscious mind then says, yeah, you know what? I worked my butt off this week.
All right.
I'm just going to have one.
Right.
And then from there, it's transferred into action by the physical body.
So there's wait a minute. Let me stop a second. So the conscious mind has said, yeah, you know what? I'm in. And you said it transfers into action. So you're saying the conscious mind is what makes the action happen to pick up the drink?
The conscious mind is what justifies, rationalizes, and denies the healthy choice.
Right.
And we go back to the pattern that we've had for 10, 20, 30 years.
Right. But who's picking up the drink?
Well, if you want to say the physical body is, but the physical body doesn't really do that in regards to a thought process. Without the thought, Patrick, or the craving, the physical body doesn't need alcohol. It's not like vitamin A that we can't live without it.
I understand.
Right? So we have that body response, but if there's a three-part step here, we have the subconscious mind fighting to keep the pattern alive that we've had. Now, listen, here's the great news. For the person that gets up at 6 a.m. in the morning and jumps into the gym, and for the first 6 months they got up at 6 a.m. in the morning and went to the gym and they hated it because they're not a morning person, and after 6 months or a year, they just automatically get up like brushing their teeth. So it was a conscious decision to set the alarm. Now, when the alarm goes off at 6 a.m., the subconscious mind is already trying to feed the conscious mind, justification, rationalization, and denial of why today we don't have to go to the gym. If the conscious mind, through accountability or maybe the fear of death because their doctor said they're going to die, makes the decision, hey, come on, we got to get up. And then the body gets up and goes to the gym. But the greatest news about retraining the subconscious is once we've done it, anywhere from 6 months to a year, it becomes who we are, and it's effortless.
Okay, let's take this call before we go, and we have a couple emails. Good morning. Who's on the phone?
Hey, this is RJ in Texas.
Go ahead. You're on the air with David.
Congratulations, Dave. Congratulations, David, on your spiritual awakening. I like your energy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How long have you been sober?
Well, let's see. From cocaine, it's been since 1996. So 22 years, and alcohol 12 years. How about yourself, RJ?
Oh, great. Huh?
Are you on the same path?
Yeah, I've been dry about 25 years. So, yeah, I just wanted to congratulate you and
Okay, that's enough. Just leave it at that. All right, you have something else?
Yeah, Patrick. The best way to understand it is like the Chinese say, the man takes a drink, the drink takes a drink, the drink takes a man. But Patrick, I'm just your friend. Think about how me and you have a hard time giving up Huggins, Morton Canning, and pickling and salt. We keep going back to the Himalayas.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Well, you know, the whole alcoholic thing in the 12-step, the only time, David, I've seen it, the experience is in the movies. You know, I've never been to a meeting, so... And I'm never really quite, I don't know, kind of jive with the idea of people standing up and said, I am alcoholic and I'll always be an alcoholic and blah, blah, blah. I know it's helpful to people, but it just seems like they're missing a piece of the puzzle there somehow.
Well, Patrick, it's interesting that you said that.
What do you think? Because you've been through it. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think the greatest advantage of 12-step programs is that people have to get vulnerable and humble to walk into a room.
Oh, and say that, yeah.
And well, not to say anything, but just to walk into the room. Like, it's scary. So it's powerful when someone can go in and just to admit to a group of people by not saying anything, Patrick, just by walking in.
Just by being there, yeah.
I think that's the most powerful part of 12-step. Now, going back to a comment I made before about how I believe the program should be updated. We know let's say you've been sober for a year, when you stand up and say, hi, I'm David and I'm an alcoholic, that is not true.
Right. Because deep down you're not, right?
No. And you've already proven that you've been clean for a year or 20 years or 30 years.
Right.
So when you're feeding yourself that statement, that is a lie.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, brother. No, I wouldn't say that to myself.
I wouldn't. Yeah. So I think if they updated, you know, we know so much. I mean, you know, my background is sports psychology.
Sure.
That's where my master's degree is. And you know, when we were counseling athletes, it's the same methods that you use to counsel what I counsel now, everyday
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we have to get out to people is that, you know, what you say about yourself is unbelievably important as long as it's not a lie in either direction. So if you say, like I did, I'm sober and you're drinking every night, that's a lie. Quit saying it.
All right.
If you say that I'm an alcoholic when you're not drinking and you're working a strong program, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, boy. We think the truth, say the truth, be the truth. I mean, Jack wants to know, David, what are your thoughts on the practice of mirroring or secret mirror? I've tried it for a month with no results. I don't know what that is.
You know, I'm going to assume, because I haven't heard those words, but I'm going to assume that it's probably about how, you know, if you do what other successful people do, you will reach their levels of success. That's how we normally define mirroring.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if that's what he's talking about, which is the most common definition of it, first of all, at the end of 30 days, that's too short of a period of time if you're looking for a major change. You know, in our book Focus, we say that the greatest opportunity for success is to surround yourself with people who have what you want and do what they do every day. Like, that's one of the ways you hold yourself accountable, whether it's, you know, working with a counselor, a coach, a minister, a mastermind group, whatever it might
mm-hmm,
be,
mm-hmm.
Get with people that have what you want, do exactly what they do, and that will give you a better chance to be successful. But 30 days would be too short. I'd say to everyone who has a major goal, commit a year.
I've always liked Kroc, you know, the fellow that did McDonald's. And he said, it's just about persistence. You just don't give up. You just get up every day. And
that's right.
I mean, he drove around the country selling malt machines. And, you know, this guy, I mean, work. You know, the interesting thing, I really love what you talked about, because I'm a writer and writing a screenplay. And, you know, the only way you're going to write something or do something is to do it when you don't want to do it. And I think that's really powerful what you said, right? That's what work is, right? That's what work is. Sometimes
Patrick,
we clean the house, and we don't want to clean the house, but the house is not going to be clean unless we clean it.
You know, I wrote books for 20 years before we got a number one bestseller.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's the persistence, the perseverance. And hey, let me offer this, Patrick.
Sure.
If any of your listeners right now want to do a free 20-minute phone counseling session with me.
Oh, that's cool. Good for you.
Absolutely free. I'd love to help them jumpstart their goals. Just, I'm going to ask them, go to talkdavid.com, 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 send us an email. My office will get back to them, Patrick, absolutely free. We don't sell you on the phone. I am here to serve. We've had the most miraculous, blessed life ever, and we give back.
David, before we go, do you still do a show now? Another? You continue to do
a
radio show?
No, you know what? We went off the air a year ago to devote all the time necessary to do the other work we're doing now. So, but I loved it for 28 years.
I know you did a long time. Here's the final one, and this is a kind of curious one. Mark writes in, could the concept of subconscious mind be the same as the concept of the living God consciousness that exists within each of us? From Mark.
The answer is no, and I'll tell you why. Because the subconscious will fight for bad habits, that goes against the living God within. So when you're trying to quit smoking and you can't, trying to quit eating, overeating and you can't, trying to quit drinking and you can't, trying to quit overspending. See, that's where the subconscious, now, if you want to say the positive side of the subconscious, the habits that we do that are really self-enhancing could be the God within, sure, I would agree with that. But the subconscious, like almost everything else, is a yin-yang. It has both sides.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice talking to you, David. Good job. How long are you home before you travel again?
We're here for a week.
Uh-huh. Cool. Well, have fun.
Yeah.
Watch out for the alligators. You guys have alligators in Florida?
Oh, my gosh. There's one in my development.
Come on. Do you really have this?
25 feet long.
Really?
It is huge.
Really? What's he doing in your neighborhood?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I've asked several of my neighbors, you know, we live on a golf course, and of course there's huge ponds. And they said that until it's going to be too late if they wait this long, until he becomes aggressive, they're just going to leave him.
Oh, God. But it's a nice place to be. David Essel, thanks. Gorgeous. And you, what's your main website, David?
Oh, yeah. It's talkdavid.com, www.talkdavid.com. Patrick, I have had a blast with you. Thank you so much.
It's an honor, sir. You take care of yourself.
Okay.
Bye-bye. David Essel, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're going to switch you over to talk to Dr. Ben Lynch.